Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a Reaction Monday presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Sparkling Water with a spark. Check them out at drinkfocus.com. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live at Bridgestone Arena, Preds and LA Kings tonight, 7 o'clock. Hal Gill will join us in 30 minutes. So last night, we were out at the on the rooftop at Rock Bottom, and there were Bills fans everywhere. And then you look over at the other rooftop, and there were Bills fans everywhere. And then you look across the street at the rooftop, and there were Bills fans everywhere. Then you walked across the bridge, there were Bills fans everywhere. Then you go to the stadium, there were Bills fans all over the place. Now, Joe Rexroad said 25%, one of the worst takes Joe's ever had. Joe said 25% Bill fans. I'm going to say somewhere around 50-50, 60%. Like,
I think 50-50 is fair to say.
Now, you were sitting up in the 300s.
Uh-huh.
Joe was sitting in the press box, which is on the home side, and you can only see below. You know, to me, those are like day one season ticket holders that have been there for forever, mm-hmm. and those are Titan fans, and that's what you're going to see. You were up in the 300 levels. You said there were a lot of Buffalo fans.
Like a ton of Buffalo fans. And I would say when I was walking in the game, just the crowd that was around me was like 80% Bill fans, 20% Titans fans.
Okay. So Joe is obviously wrong, which is not a surprise. But I've been listening to sports talk radio in Nashville for a long time. And I want to congratulate the fans, at least so far, because I feel like in the past, you win a game over the top team in the NFL, and the next day, all the talk on the radio is Super Bowl, and yes, this is our year, and we're the best, and we haven't heard that today. And I think it's because we've all learned that with this Titans group, they are the same guys that lost to the Jets, that beat the Bills. It's like, let's not get too excited. Even if they beat the Chiefs on Sunday, I think Titan fans will be measured and be like, oh no, Indianapolis the next week, and you know, the Titans can't live long with prosperity, which is a very measured belief. But I used to listen to the shows on a day like after the Steelers played. And, I mean, there'd be so many calls about, on the phones about, you know, shame on all these Titan fans who sold their tickets to the Steeler fans. Because there were all these Steeler fans in there. Shame on all the Titan fans that sold their ticket to the Dallas fans. And there's all these Cowboy fans in there. And today, I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. I have not heard a lot of talk about, you know, shame on these Titan fans that sold their tickets to the Bill fans. But I wonder this. Should Titans fans be upset that in their some of their bigger games, it's not a home field advantage? It's not a home field advantage against the Buffalo Bills. It won't be a home field advantage on Sunday against the Chiefs. It wasn't a home field advantage 2 years ago against the Chiefs. It wasn't a home field advantage against the Eagles or the Patriots in 2018 when they packed the place. It wasn't a home field advantage for the defending Super Bowl champion for the Titans against the defending champion Broncos in 2016. And when Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay came to town, you could hear a go pack go chant. But all those teams left with a loss. So I'm a big fan of going places I've never been and wanting to see my team play. And guess what? When the Tennessee Titans go to Vegas to play the Raiders next year or whenever that is, guess who's going to be there? Me. Because I want to go see that stadium in Vegas. And if I wanted to go to LA, I might go and see the stadium in Los Angeles this year. I'm not going to, but I might. But I have nothing against it. I went to one Atlanta Braves game this year. They're my favorite team. They're down 2-0 in the NLCS right now. I went to one game. It was on the road in Miami. I have no problem with going and seeing my team on the road. How can I get mad at others for having their support for their team on the road? But then I have to ask the question, how do the Titans keep sending these teams home with losses? And maybe that's why the fans are okay with it. Because every time these teams come to town and pack the stadium, every time they do that, all of a sudden, they leave with a loss. And we even talked about it. Hey, remember when all those Eagle fans came to town and they rented out the General Jackson before the game and they packed that house and they all left with an overtime loss? Remember all those Patriot fans that couldn't get through the gates because Nissan Stadium took forever to open them up? And they left with a loss. And I am just convinced that maybe Titan fans have warmed up to the idea that at the end of the day, they're cool with sharing a 50-50 stadium because the other team loses so much in the 50-50 stadium. But I also feel like deep down inside, there are still those same people that hate the fact that the Titans aren't really ever going to have a true home field advantage. And I understand the sympathy, right? Like, I was at the AFC title game in Arrowhead, and I remember being in that place thinking, how does anybody ever win a game here? How do you ever win a football game with all these Kansas City Chiefs fans? You're never going to have that in Nashville. Even if the Titans make the playoffs where you can't plan as far in advance and buy tickets, I still think there's a pretty good chance that if one of these premier franchises, like the Steelers, were to show up here, there'd be a lot of Steeler fans, a lot of Steeler fans at Nissan Stadium. So I guess that's my question. One, do we have a problem with it since the Titans seem to win when they have these kind of games? And two, are the Titans ever going to be able to take their stadium back over? Because I kind of feel like with the advent of the secondary ticket market and with the popularity growth in the city of Nashville, that there is no way going forward. Like, for me, I have no problem with this because I understand all the factors that have played into it. And I like that Nashville's a tourist city. And I like the fact that people want to come here. And I like the fact that people spend their money here. And I like all of that. And I'm fine with it. But I do wonder, are the Titans ever going to have a true home field advantage?
I understand Titans fans being frustrated by it because Bills fans probably have every right to leave Nashville and say, hey, yeah, no, we lost. But, I mean, that stadium was just covered up with Bills fans. You know, we are so proud of our fan base traveling from Buffalo to Nashville and having such a big representation at the game. And I understand that for Titans fans, that's probably very frustrating. Like, yeah, we won, but why can't we get the support for our team in our city? Why are people flying from all across the country to support their team in our stadium and we can't even do it when it's just down the street? I understand that frustration, but I, like you said, I think that comes with being a destination city. Like you said, a Las Vegas Raiders game. I'm sure there are plenty of Phillies fans, Steelers fans, Buffalo fans that probably travel to Las Vegas because those are destination places to go.
So the Chargers are never going to have a home crowd. Like the Chargers are never. They played in L.A. where the Raiders used to play. And the Raiders are probably the top team in Los Angeles. And it was all Raider fans at the stadium. And when they played in that little soccer stadium, the Chargers did, it was all visiting fans. The Chargers are never going to be able to play, unless they like win like four Super Bowls in a row and then everybody just wants to do it because it's the cool thing to do. The Chargers are never going to be that kind of team. Maybe that's what it takes for the Titans, is for the Titans to be like the Patriots, where you have a decade of dominance. And then, maybe then that's when you become that. But like the idea of like what Lambeau Field is, or Soldier Field is, or Arrowhead Stadium is, or Seattle, any of those, never. And it was like that at first. Like when it, the first years, it was like that. I've just decided it's never going to be like that. There is too much money to be made on the secondary ticket market for people to sell those tickets. And that's why I think, you know, Joe Rexroad's opinion is more wrong, because he's sitting in the press box where the club level is above the press box and then the 300 level is above that. Well, the people that have the most money and thus wouldn't need to sell their lower level tickets are directly in front of Joe. So they're not going to sell their tickets. Even if they don't want to go, they're going to give them to people they know who are Titans fans. And so it's going to all be Titans fans. You're in the 300 level. You got 300 tickets. You know, those are a lot more inexpensive. So if you're paying $1,000 for the season or whatever it costs to be up in the 300 level, and you can sell that ticket for that game and you can make $200 or whatever they were going for on the secondary market. I don't know. That is something I probably should have known or looked at. And you could sell that for $200. I understand why you would do it. Makes sense to me. So I'm a believer in the secondary ticket market. So I just am. Maybe I would love for the Titans to have a true home field. I'm just resigned to the fact that they will never actually have a true home field advantage in a home game against a premier franchise team, like an old school franchise team. It will never be 90% Titan fans against the Packers. It will never be like that against the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Bills, the Browns. It will never be that way against those teams. And I'm okay with it.
And I think there are a lot of problems that winning can solve. I think that the more and more that the Titans start winning and proving themselves and establishing themselves as a serious contender year in and year out, and you're getting people to buy in more and more, I think that starts to change things. And I think that there's also an element here that the Titans are a fairly new franchise. I mean, this isn't a Green Bay Packers team that's been around ever since the very beginning of the NFL. Sure. So I think that whenever, you know, kids that go to Nissan Stadium and go to Titans games and are diehard Titans fans, and they start to grow up and they start to have kids, and this team starts to become more of an integral part of the culture of the city and the state, then I think things start to change. But I do think that winning solves a lot of things short term.
615-737-1025. We will get to your text because we have not done a good job on the text line today. So we will get to that next. Plus, Joe Rexroad, who again estimated 25%. 25% Bills fans yesterday. I think I could talk to the owner of the team and they wouldn't say 25% Bill fans.
I just can't get my mind around that. I know that Joe had a different perspective than I did. I just cannot get my mind around 25%.
Joe has fired back a both private and public rebuke.
Oh, wow.
Of our claims, which we will hit on next, and your phones. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play silly underdog picks brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. Normally, we have headlines with Caroline, which are presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. But today, Reaction Monday put into a Tuesday, so we'll hit the headlines tomorrow. Hal Gill will join us in just a little bit. But we're talking about the home field advantage that the Titans don't have. Joe Rexroad, who said 25% of the crowd was Buffalo fans.
I just can't get on board with that.
25. Joe Rexroad texted me and said it was a massive home field advantage last night because it was three Titans fans for every Bill fans. Incredible inability to see/hear. Now, Joe also sent a tweet out in which Caroline responded with a picture of where she was sitting, and there were like 10 Bill fans in front of her and no Titan fans.
Which is such a small sample size, but it just goes to show that, like, at least where I was sitting, it was not three Titans fans to one Bills fan.
Now, Chase McCabe said, what was his guess on the fans yesterday?
I think he said 60% Bills fans.
Okay. What did you say?
I said it was 60% Bills fans, 40% Titans fans.
I think like, or like maybe like 50-50,
something around there. Yeah. Not more than 60%.
Okay, I think Chase sat in the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in the club level. You sat in the 300 level.
Yeah.
My buddy,
I was on the Titan side.
My buddy, who's is doing well in life,
mm-hmm. good
and
for him.
Got the good seats,
oh.
said 40-50% Buffalo. Joe is so far off his rocker. This is the, like... Joe's been wrong about a lot of things before, and nobody ever calls him to the carpet. You know, Freezing Cold Takes has to tweet about me every 5 minutes, like they did like an hour ago.
Did they really?
Yeah, I said when Jacob Eason hit a Hail Mary his freshman year at Georgia against Tennessee, or like hit a bomb to win the game, and then Tennessee hit the Hail Mary to win it. And I said, you know, with the first pick in the 2019 draft, the Rams select Jacob Eason. So in like 2016, I said that. And so Eason got released today, so Freezing Cold Takes tweeted that I said that. So like everybody gets mad at me, you know, whatever. This may be the most wrong Joe's ever been. Like, because 25%, who are you talking to? This is so, like, let them eat cake. Joe in his ivory tower is like, no, you guys who were in the stands yesterday.
You peasants in the stands.
And all have the same opinion are all wrong.
Joe has a rebuttal. He says, yeah, Bills fans gobbled upper seats pretty well. I saw that.
No, you did not. You were sitting two levels below the upper deck.
Says lower was massively less Buffalo presence than 2 years ago. Ultimately, sounds are the guide. Both teams made tons of plays, scored tons of points. The noise for Titan stuff was way greater than Bill stuff. Strong home field advantage.
You were at the game. Did you feel that way?
No.
I was at the game. Guess what? I didn't feel that way.
I didn't feel that way.
Watching on TV,
like a neutral site.
Yeah, watching on TV, I was expecting the Bills fans to be louder just based on the numbers I had heard. And I didn't think they were as loud. I thought the Titans fans were louder than I was anticipating, to be honest with you. But that was just being on TV. You know, I was expecting to hear the Bills fans be very loud. And while you could hear them, I thought the Titans fans were much louder than I thought they would be compared.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025, text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have into the text line?
One texter texts in and says, closer to 25% than 50%. There's absolutely no way it was 50%. Quit saying they travel well unless you mean from across town. Yes, a ton did travel, but over half our local front runners didn't meet but one person actually from Buffalo.
Well, did you see the plane? Like the
yes, I did. Like, and did you see the one lone Preds fan? As all the Bills fans were like going crazy on the plane, the one lone Preds fan was just sitting back in his chair, like, I'm just trying to get back home.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Blake is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Blake.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was just calling in to give like a slightly different perspective about being a lifelong Vandy fan, and how one thing about being a Vandy fan is you're always the underdog. And there's nothing more beautiful than being the underdog and beating everybody around you. Now, like, being at the game, there's no way that it was what Rex Road says. But there were, you know, several fans around me that were Bills fans, and they were pretty mouthy. But when we beat them, they shut up quick.
I mean, I didn't think there was, like, and I appreciate a call, Blake. I didn't think there was angst like the Eagle fans.
It seemed like all kind of, like, fun camaraderie to me from Bills fans. I don't think I never experienced anyone being like totally nasty. There was an expletive shouted toward me, but I think overall Bills fans were just happy for their team and excited for their team and kind of rowdy, but not necessarily rude.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have an issue with Bill fans. This was not like the Eagle fans a couple years ago. What else we got?
They looked like they were having a good time, which is good.
Oh, by the way, Joe is hate texting me. And I should only read this on the air because...
And Joe is responding to texts in the text line that are in Joe's
favor. Oh, my God. Okay.
Joe, you're off the clock.
So Joe comes on Jared versus Joe. And by the way, Jared versus Joe is going to be a hype tomorrow. I can already tell you. But Joe... Like, on Jared versus Joe, starts responding to all the texts into the text line, like, after he's off. Like, what are you... Oh, my God. Okay, so Joe said, you don't have to sit in the upper deck to see it, doofus. You didn't sit there. I said, she did.
I was there, Joe.
She did. Chase sat in the lower level. I sat in the club level. Caroline sat in the upper level. And we all felt the same thing. Which means, in this case, of four people, you are 25% wrong. And that we are 75% right, unlike your stupid claim earlier.
So anyway, point one for the home team.
I replied to Joe, and I said, she did. She sat there. He said, great. And she was around a ton of Bills fans, which is going to influence how she feels about the crowd. Joe is the only person on the planet that believes what Joe just said, except for the people in the text line where we can talk about anything and you can get somebody to reply to it that will say that they agree with some kind of take. That truly Joe is the only person, oh God, oh, Braves almost hit a home run. That Joe is the only person who believes that and the people that Joe is replying to in the text line. I'm sorry. What are some of the texts Joe's replying to? And give me Joe's replies too.
So, this texter, the one that I just read, you know, saying quit saying that they travel well unless you mean from across town, saying that only a couple people were from Buffalo. Joe said, thank you. This is mind-boggling. And the texter responded and said, perplexed. But Drew texted in and said, we were at the game in the club level, section 216. Throughout tailgating, it seemed we were outnumbered 2-1. I do have to say that. There were so many Bills fans tailgating. But Drew says, in our seats, Bills fans on all sides, all good people to talk to. It was a minimum of 50-50. I would guess somewhere between 60-40 and 65-35.
65-35 Titan fans?
I would say... This texture makes it seem like there were more Bills fans than Titans fans. They say there were Bills fans sitting all around him at the club level.
So a couple of years ago, the Packers came to town. And Floyd's son had tickets in a suite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like through work or something. And, you know, this is probably one of the tough parts about having kids. Floyd didn't want to go to the game and talk to people. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go to the game and, like, You know, hey, Floyd, what'd you think of that play? Like, he don't want to do that. But his son was in a suite, and so his son wanted to bring him. So Floyd, yeah. Decided to go. And I remember, too, because of the pregame show, I'm like, I bet you hate that. And he said to me, he goes, nah, I'll just drink their beer and eat their hot dogs, and, it'll be fine and whatever. And I would laugh or whatever, but I knew he didn't like that. So before, we were talking about Packers, and I was like, I think it's going to be more Packer fans than Titan fans. And he was like, that is preposterous. I'm like, dude, this ain't like when you were GM. Like, this is not like that.
Yeah.
And he came back on Monday, and he was like, I don't think it was 50-50. I think there were more Packer fans than there were. And if anybody's listened to this show, you know how hard it would be for him to say something like that to me.
Yeah.
Like, how hard it would be for him to say that he was wrong and I was right. Like, how hard that was on him. And Joe will not say it, even though everybody knows that Joe's wrong. Right? Like, let's kick it around the room. Ian, is Joe wrong?
Without me being there, I'm not sure it's fair for me to say.
Well, Joe is sitting in his ivory tower, and he's saying it like we're all idiots for sitting in the crowd and feeling that way.
He was at least in the stadium. It's hard to tell. I thought it was less Bills fans than I thought there would be on TV. I'll say that. It's hard to say, though.
A lot of people who are texting in saying that they watched on TV, and they said it looked and sounded like mostly Titans fans.
But it kind of did.
I did not get that vibe.
But maybe that's just because the lower bowl is more visible on TV, you know?
Maybe.
But even some of those end zone shots where you saw the Titans kind of getting fans gearing up on third down, and there were still a lot more Titans fans yelling and screaming and slapping the things than I kind of thought there would be.
Joe sent in a text to me and said, ask anyone.
Ask anyone?
The three of us went to the game.
You can ask any of us.
I mean, did you go to the game?
Yes, I went to the game.
I'm asking you, is Joe wrong?
I think Joe's wrong.
Okay.
One texter texted in and said 60-40 Titans fans. I could maybe get on board with that, but I'm not going higher than that.
I don't. Tony Husband, Nashville SC, replies on Twitter and says, living just across the river, it was marginally louder when the Titans scored. But downtown was transformed into Little Buffalo this weekend. I expected them to be louder.
It really was Little Buffalo when I drove.
Well, it'll be Little
downtown
Kansas City
yesterday.
In 4 days.
Yeah, it was definitely Little Buffalo.
I mean, prepare yourself for the fact that it's going to be Little Kansas City. Sean is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. Hey, I think you really need to understand the relationship with the NFL schedule because you keep using the Green Bay Packers as an example. You know, the Green Bay Packers only play in Nashville once every 8 years because of the scheduling. You know, and so, of course, it's going to be mega Green Bay fans here in Nashville when they only play here once every 8 years. Similarly, when it was 49ers a year ago or two, there was a ton of 49ers fans.
So here's where I disagree with you. I appreciate your call, Sean. Buffalo's been here 3 years in a row. Like, they've been here 3 seasons in a row, like the odds and the scheduling and whatever.
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed much. Sean Reese has texted me.
Oh.
Said, we share the same colors with the Bills. Packers fans would stick out like a sore thumb. You wouldn't be able to miss them. And Floyd was thrilled to attend that football game with me.
Aw.
Which, by the way, Floyd left early.
But I do have to say, like, Bills fans... And one of my best friends is a diehard Bills fan, born and raised in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Bills fans don't just wear like a Bills shirt with like jeans and a jacket. Bills fans wear Bills pants, a Bills jersey with a Bills shirt underneath, and a Bills hat and some sort of Bills related overalls. Like when you see a Bills fan, you know it. But to Sean's point they have the same colors.
Titans, by the way, getting the number 2 crew on CBS this weekend.
Ooh.
So Titans, Chiefs. Getting the number 2 crew. Hal Gill from the booth. Preds and LA Kings tonight. And I am mad at the Predators. Did not take long. 2 games. And I'm already mad. The 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag The Game and use the hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local, support social. Still with the company, we are live inside of Bridgestone Arena and, of course, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, where all of our broadcast at Bridgestone Arena, brought to you by the Hermitage, the Design Center, the professional source for lighting and hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and bath, on the web at GoHermitage.com. Hal Gill is in the booth. Harold, how are we today?
I'm fantastic. Beautiful day here in Nashville. Everyone happy about a win last night. We're hoping for another one tonight.
There you go. So I have a bone to pick with the Predators, and the bone is going to be picked with you. And this offseason, David Poile talked about the need to get younger and trade guys and move guys and make moves and things like that to get younger. And he talked about, you know, trading for Cody Glass because they like the potential. And they put Tomasino in the opening night roster. And they're going to play Tolvanen and they're going to play Fabro and Carrier and all these young guys. And then it took him one game to drop Tomasino out of the lineup. And I think he's got to play because I've been sold by the Predators people that Tomasino is the future. And so it's one game he's out. And now Cody Glass, who I didn't, you know, he's already been traded twice. I know he was a high pick a couple years ago, but he's already been traded twice. Cody Glass has now been sent down to Milwaukee, and it's been less than a week. And I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute. What happened to giving the young guys a chance? And last year they said they were going to give the young guys a chance, and then they took the young guys out. And so now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all these guys that they hyped up this summer, it feels like they're not giving a fair chance to. I'm okay with losing as long as you're building for the future, but if you take the young guys out, then are you really building for the future with these young guys? And it's gotten me all hot and bothered. What are they doing, Hal?
Well, I think you're misunderstanding developing young talent with just sticking them in a lineup, you know, and there's certain, you know, there's certain positions that we'll say, like, you just throw them out there, let them make mistakes and we'll lose and because of their mistakes. And it's a fine line between throwing a guy out there and letting him make mistakes and then throwing him out there. And when he's, you know, he's trying to keep his head above water and losing confidence. I think in the case of Cody Glass, I think, he goes down and he plays, gets his feet under him, gets some confidence in Milwaukee and then comes back up and, you know, we continue his development. The beauty of him is you can send him up and down, you know, you can play that game without losing them. And, you know, with these young guys, every guy develops a different way. And so I think you have to say, yeah, of course you want to win. You don't want to sacrifice wins, but you don't want to sacrifice, more importantly, you don't want to sacrifice someone's confidence and someone's skill and how they're supposed to play with just, you know, last thing I want to see is Tomasino get over the blue line and or over the red line and dump it in. I want to see him make plays. And if he's not going to be at the level where he can go out and make plays and be confident to make plays, then I don't want to see him at the NHL level. And I think he needs some time to sit back and practice with the coaches, look over film. You know, I assume he's going to get back in at some point, just the same way Cody Glass is going to get back in. I just think you need to take time and develop these guys the right way. And it doesn't always mean stuffing them in a lineup where they're not going to fit. I think the development is a lot more involved in that.
So Crispy said on the show last week, I asked him, what do you look at of the young guys? And Crispy said, I want to see how they react. I want to see when things don't go young Tomasino's way. I want to see how he gets back out there on the ice. And I want to see how he reacts. And so I watched Thursday night, and I'm watching Tomasino play. And I saw, like, I thought he was a little too timid. You know, I think, like, he knows he's got talent, but I think he, when he was out there, it felt to me like he felt like he was small, like that he wasn't big enough or fast enough to play with these guys yet. And I wanted to see Tomasino on Saturday night, see if he could make an adjustment on that. Hines drops him out of the lineup. So what Crispy is telling me he would have looked for as a coach in Tomasino, how can Hines see that if he's going to take him out of the game on Saturday night? And I just don't see the purpose in this. I don't see the purpose in, if he's here, to not be in the lineup consistently. If you want to drop him to Milwaukee because he's not ready, that's fine. But then you can't really hype us up on the young guys until they're actually here. And it just seems like a lot of mixed messaging coming from the Predators. And that makes me think that maybe they are overstating what their plan really is.
Well, okay. But that's the thing is, okay, pay attention. It's about developing a player. If you put a kid out who had a maybe not a strong.
Well, I know that, but David didn't say that this summer. Hal, David did not say that this summer. David said we're going to play the young guys, and now you're telling me, well, maybe they're better off developing the young guys if they don't play them.
Okay, so they're bringing up Novak tonight. He's going to play. He's a young guy that's coming in, and he deserves a shot. And you sit a guy down or send a guy down so he can develop his game so that he can come back and say, you know, you go through a game, you see what you did right, you see what you did wrong, you say, okay, these are the things I need to work on, because the NHL is, like you said, it's bigger, faster, stronger. It's a whole different game, and it might just be a fine tuning of what you have to do, but you have to do everything at a faster pace, and so you need to learn that pace. And so there's a ton of value in being exposed to it, saying, okay, this is what I need to get to, and then going back and working on what you need to work on, because you've seen it and you know. Now you see, okay, this guy is going to close his time and space a lot faster, and he's a bigger guy, so I need to move the puck quicker. And so you go down and you work on it, or in practice, you go and you work on those little things because you realize how much faster the game is. And so once you do that, you come back and you have a new appreciation for the game, you have a new understanding of the game, and then you go out and you perform. And it just takes time. I think it's foolish to just say, okay, go play him. That's the way the league isn't like that anymore, where you just say, let this guy play it out and see where he lands. You have to manage how he's doing it. You can't just say, keep throwing him out to make the same mistakes, because you end up getting squash confidence, and it's a bad thing all around. You want to go slow with these guys, and if they're ready, then, yeah, go ahead and play them, of course. But if they're not ready, you got to pull them back out and help them, teach them the game, learn what they need to do to be successful, and then bring them back up and let them go again.
I hear you.
And
I
you can disagree, Jared. I understand you disagree.
I disagree with what we were told all summer.
They're doing and what the Preds are doing. So you have the rest of the show to tell everyone whatever you want. But I'm just – you had me on, so I'm telling you what I think and what I think the Preds think.
I hear you. It just – it seems like it's all mixed messages. It's all like, you know, today we're going to say this, and then tomorrow we're going to do that. And then today we're going to –
it's not mixed messages. They said they want to play the young guys. They want to get them in. They do. If they're not ready, then they're not going to – they're not – you know, it's foolish to just keep dumping kids out on the ice and saying, go ahead and you know, I know your head is below water and you're drowning, but you're going to have to deal with it. You know, I think there's a time and a place when you say, hey, work through certain things, but this isn't it. And I think they're playing it smart and developing young players, and it takes time. And you know, like Roman Josi is one of the best defensemen I've ever seen play hockey, and he spent time in Milwaukee, and he learned his game. Matthias Ekholm went down. I played with him for two games, and he wasn't good, and he went back down, and he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. You need to develop your game, and it takes time. And so don't write these young guys off just because they're out of the lineup. There's a lot of good players that are coming into the lineup that deserve to be in the lineup. And so they're going to wait their turn, and they're going to learn how to play their game, and they're going to go work at it.
Hal Gill with us. Any concern over the first two games? Both close games, both close losses. Team fought till the end. It's early in the season. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know what? I do think they played – I think they played a pretty good game. Both games were pretty good. You know, you look at it, and it's hard because it's – you know, on Thursday night, it was – what was it? It was like – three plays. Saturday night was three plays that, you know, like Johansson has a good goal and Svechnikov has a beautiful goal. And those are, other than that, the game is pretty even. And so it comes down to, you know, making plays. And, you know, it was tight contested the whole way through. And I think that's what you're looking for from a team, is especially after they've talked about, like you said, that competitive rebuild, that like they want to go out and compete every night. And then they'll learn how to win those games. They have young guys, like you said, they're coming in. They need to learn how to win. But I do think it's just a matter of a few plays, and they just need to make a couple more of those plays, and they'll turn around and get wins. But I'm optimistic with the way that they've competed and the way that they've played for, you know, it hasn't been beautiful for 60 minutes each game, but they're certainly competing, and that's what I'm, you know, very optimistic about.
Hal Gill, as always on the program, Hal, appreciate you. We look forward to you chatting it up from the booth on the pregame show in literally like 5 minutes.
Caroline, just wave so I know you're there.
No, hey, Hal, I'm here. I'm alive.
Oh,
I'm good. I'm out
good
here.
Good to hear from you. Next
yeah,
time,
thanks
let's
in.
Talk.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey,
enjoy
you know
the
what,
game
though?
Tonight.
Yep, see, Hal, I think you're on my side about this with the young guys.
See ya.
Hal makes a good point in that, I mean, I'm not a hockey guy, but when we were promised young guys, when we were promised a youth movement,
could you imagine
I
if
thought
Urban
that's
Meyer
what we
said,
would get.
Could you imagine if Urban Meyer said, you know, Trevor, you know, first game, made some mistakes, so we're going to put him on the bench for this game so that he can.
It's too soon, in my opinion. When we were promised a youth movement, we were promised a quote-unquote competitive rebuild. In my understanding of what that meant, the core of what this team was going to be this year was going to be the young guys. So moving forward in 3, 4, 5 years, the young guys aren't young anymore, and the inexperienced guys aren't inexperienced anymore. And that's how you build a championship team. To me, 2 games is too quick to move guys down, is too quick to make your assumptions about guys.
You want to know what I think?
What do you think?
I think that they got a lemon in Cody Glass, and they know it. But because they – remember how the returns for Arvidsson and the returns for Ellis just got torched?
Mm-hmm.
They made this move, and they're like, well, he was picked 5th overall or whatever a couple years ago, and we love him. Like, they're the only ones that think that. And then they got him on the ice, and they realized why he's been traded twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, that kind of sucks.
But how do you make that assumption in 2 games?
Because you can make an assumption on bad early. Like, you, if you put me at quarterback for the Titans, you could decide real quickly that I can't play.
Well, yeah,
but if you were to,
I guess, but
if you were to put like a guy, if you were to put like a legitimate prospect at quarterback, you can't decide in 2 games. But if you know a guy stinks,
mm-hmm.
you know it really quickly. Like, that's, you know, Des Fitzpatrick.
Well, then if
like,
they can make that assumption
know,
really early, then I guess they did make the right move.
But they hyped it up all summer that, hey, we got this guy, and evaluation's half the problem anyways. That we've been complaining about,
mm-hmm.
you know, with why are they trading this guy? Why are they getting rid of that guy? Why are they bringing in Kyle Turris? Why are they? So I think they realize they screwed up on Glass. I think the Tomasino thing is the coach doesn't think he's ready, but the team wants him in. So that's
but,
what
but
I
what is John Hines? He's a developmental guy. He's one of those guys. He's a coach for the younger players.
John Hines is in the last year of his contract. That's
okay.
what John Hines is.
Yes.
So winning and
losing. Two of those things can be true.
So winning and losing matters. And remember last year, he took the young guys out.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches don't like young guys. Floyd used to always tell me, that's why Bill O'Brien, when he took over the Texans, traded away 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. Now, you tell me what you'd rather have, the 3rd pick in this year's draft or Laremy Tunsil.
Probably the third pick in this year's draft.
But that's what the coaches do, is they want the experienced players. Because that's how coaches.
Because they know them and they know what to expect, and they, you know, the rookiness has worn off.
And that's.
I get it.
So that's my vibe.
Then don't call yourself a developmental coach.
Well, every coach is going to call themselves a developmental coach.
But that's what we've heard so much about John Hines.
Except for Phil Jackson. He's like, you give me the superstar, and then
and
I'll
then
go win the
he can do what he needs to do.
That's the difference. Hey, Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow on 102.5 The Game. Special guests will be Rocco Grimaldi and Philip Tomasino. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7, featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the game via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and thegamenashville.com. Be sure to join us this season for Smashville Live. Quick edition of Caroline's, quick Preds game day next. Snowman and Company, it's time now for Predators game day.
Complex back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now. With Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators and the LA Kings tonight. Predators look to get off the mat and get their first win of the season, coming in at 0-2. John Hines on the improvements he wants to see.
You know, for us, I think consistency in our game is important.
And I'd say the other one is, you know, our special teams, our penalty kill has been pretty good, but, you know, special teams here has to be better. Our power play has to be more of an improvement. I think, you know, 5-on-5, we do lots of good things, but I think if you're going to be able to have ultimate success, the special teams do play a big factor.
So there you go. Time now for Carolines, where we'll take a look at the lines on tonight's game. Carolines presented by BetUS.
Spread on tonight's game is 1.5. Nashville Predators favored -142. I'm going to take the Preds -142 tonight. I think they get their first win on the season tonight.
Good. Tell us about Carolines.
Carolines brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook. For over 25 years, you can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Pre-game next.